Let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this place that we can come away from the world, we can come out of the world and truly just sit down and concentrate on you and think about you and see the things that you want us to see in this book. Lord, we pray that you would powerfully invade this place today, that you would invade our hearts and our minds, and that you would speak to us. I know that there are things you want to say to each and every person that's here today, and Lord, I just ask for an open door. Lord, give us an open door. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Luke chapter 5, we move to a different location. In chapter 4, Jesus was in Capernaum. And he was ministering there, and we see a day in the life of Jesus in chapter 4. But now Jesus has moved on. He's continuing his ministry as he goes from village to village, town to town in Galilee, in this northern part. And he is preaching, and he is teaching, and he is healing people. And his fame, wow, it is exploding. It is growing tremendously. And just imagine, if you will, for a minute, what it must have been like to be in one of these villages, to hear about this incredible guy, this rabbi, this young preacher who is going and he's healing people and teaching amazing things. And then you look up and he's walking into your village. Wow. I just imagine the whole town shut down. You know, everybody left work, doors closed, businesses shut down. Everybody is going out to see this guy, to see what he can do, and to hear the things that he's going to say. People are flocking. Some of them are actually leaving their villages and following him, just going wherever he is going. Well, in today's lesson, he comes to the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, Luke calls it Lake Gennesaret, and that's unique to the Gospel of Luke. It goes by the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. There are a number of names that this body of water has, but that's where we pick up our story today in chapter 5. Verse 1 says this, "As the crowd was pressing in on him," on Jesus, "to hear God's word." Listen to that. Not the rain. I mean, listen to what God says here. It says that they came to hear God's word. Look, people are being healed. The lame are walking. The blind are seeing. The deaf are made to hear. And what Luke points out, though, is that they came to hear the word of God in the midst of all of that. Guys, there is a hunger in every human soul. There is an emptiness in every human being that craves for something that this world cannot provide. In all of the wealth, the relationships, you could be married to Brad Pitt. I'm talking to the ladies, not you guys. But if you were married to Brad Pitt, you would not have the kind of fulfillment that your heart longs for. There's only one place to find that, and it is Jesus Christ. They came to hear the Word of God being spoken by the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? It says that he was standing on Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats at the edge of the lake. And the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, we know him as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Take note of that phrase, to put out a little from the land. And then he sat down, Jesus, and began to teach the crowds from the boat. Now what you have here on the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, is almost a natural amphitheater. It's all around the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. If you get a chance to go to Israel, and I highly recommend it to anybody, you will see this. And Jesus is in this boat, He's sitting down in the boat. That was the standard position for a teacher in this day. He would sit there, and the banks of around the lake just gradually slope up. It's a beautiful, natural kind of amphitheater. Now, Jesus didn't have a microphone that he could stick in his ear and use to amplify his voice, so God just created this natural place for him to speak and to teach. Verse 4, it says, when he had finished speaking, we have no idea what he taught. We have no idea what he said to them. He teaches a message, but we're not given that because there's something else in this story besides what Jesus was teaching on that day. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. What this says in the Greek language, he's not just speaking to Simon, but he says you, plural. He's talking to all of the guys, Simon and Andrew, James and John. We'll see they're all there in this group. He says, you guys, you, plural, put out into deep water and let your nets down. Jesus finishes the formal part of his teaching, this lesson on the lakeshore there. But boy, he is not finished teaching. He has more to offer. There's more to show. Jesus is bringing them into a different classroom. He has designed all of this to show them something very specific. He is going to have his own show and tell, if you will. And guys, it is the show and tell lesson that really sinks in. This is the one that takes root. You know, we teach much more by what we demonstrate than what we say. You see this with your kids. You know, you tell your kids. You tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them. You tell them how to behave, but instead of behaving, what they do is they act like you. You know, they do what you do. We learn more. More is caught than what is taught. Parents, we need to set examples for our kids. Not just speaking to them, but living it out in front of them. That's where they're going to learn. Well, back to our story. It says that Jesus is asking them to put out into deep water. Now, you got to understand, this is something extremely strange. This is very different. Peter has been fishing this lake all of his life. He is a fisherman. He knows everything about this place. And not only that, but he's got literally over 1,000 years of data, of knowledge, information about fishing that has been passed down to him from generation to generation to generation. Peter knows how to fish this lake. He knows everything about it. The fishing is done in the shallows. You don't fish in the deep. He knows that. It's done in the shallows, and it's done at nighttime. That's when you do your fishing. That's when they always did their fishing. Nobody fishes in the daytime. And so this is a strange request that Jesus makes of these guys here. Don't you just love getting advice from novices? From the newbie at work that shows up and has all of the answers. We all love to see that. When I was in the Navy, we had a saying that the two most dangerous things in the seagoing service was, number one, an ensign with an idea and a JG with a plan. Most of you can relate to that. You know, you get these guys that are all full of enthusiasm and excitement and they mean the best. They really do. But there's just not much experience backing that up. And so very often, yeah, we just kind of laugh and move on. But in a way, this is the situation that Peter is in. All of his experience, everything that he knows, and he knows everything that there is to know humanly about this lake, everything that he knows says, this is a dumb idea. This is just idiotic. It's not going to work. But you see, in this case, the novice that he's speaking to is God. Peter doesn't know that. He doesn't understand that yet. But Jesus is asking them to do something that is absolutely contrary to everything they know. You see, Jesus very often meets us in that place where we are most confident. He meets these guys here on the job site. He meets them where they think that they are the experts. Guys, the lesson here for us is that, man, no matter how much you think you know, Jesus is way smarter. He is way, way smarter. You may know everything there is to know in your field of study, but guys, I'm telling you, Jesus knows more. He is way smarter. And notice also how patient Jesus is with them. Just like he is with you and us, with you and me. First he says to Peter, put out a little way. Just a little way. Just put out into the shallows, into that place, Peter, where you are comfortable, into that place where you know how to fish. Peter, put out into the shallow area. And then he began to teach. The crowd is there, certainly. Peter is there. Andrew is there. James and John, they're all there listening to this. They hear the message. They respond in obedience to put out into the shallow, into that area where we're comfortable. But then he says, guys, okay, now put out into the deep. Put out into the deep. Jesus takes them one step at a time. He doesn't just dump the whole thing in their lap. He doesn't throw them into the deep end and say, sink or swim. He gives this to them little by little. Guys, move out into the shallows. Move out into that area where you are comfortable. He says to Peter, and Peter obeys him. And then he says, launch out into the deep. But it's not launch out into the deep just because it's there. It's not launch out into the deep because the swimming's good out. There is a purpose in this. Launch out into the deep for a great catch. There is a plan, there is a purpose, and guys, there is a guarantee of success. You see that? Put out into the deep for a great catch. You will catch a great amount of fish. Hang on to that thought. We're going to get back to that in a minute. Verse 5, Peter, we see the classic response. We see the classic Peter step in here. He says, Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. They had worked all night. All they'd caught was seaweed. You know, Jesus had sent all of the fish to the other side of the lake. He said to the fish, stay away from that boat. Don't go anywhere near it. They were all someplace else. All these guys had caught all night long with seaweed. And there's no market for seaweed. There are no sushi bars in and around Galilee in the first century. So they had nothing to show for a hard night's work. But, he says, at your word, I will let down the nets. Peter says, okay, I'll do this. I will be obedient to what you're telling me to do. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. And we don't know what Peter's voice or what the tone of his voice was here. We don't know exactly what his attitude was. I suspect in my mind that there was a little bit of attitude with Peter. And maybe that says more about me than about Peter, but you know, I just get this impression that it's, okay, Lord, fine, you know, we'll do it. Lord, you know, really, there are certain things that we need help with. You know, there are certain areas that I need you to come alongside, but there are other areas that I got this covered. You know, I just don't need your help with this. Lord, you're a great teacher, you're a great healer. Lord, you can even cast out demons. You could probably even build a great bookcase. You know, he was a carpenter, you know. But Lord, fishing, come on. We're the fishermen. What are you doing? I grew up on this lake. I know every inch of it. I think maybe there was a little bit of attitude here. We fished all night, Lord, and caught nothing. But this is the key. He says, I'll do it. But if you say so, if you say so. Guys, this should be our motto for life. If the Lord says so, if the Lord tells us to do a certain thing, that's what we need to do. Whether we understand it or not, whether it makes sense to us or not, if you say so, Lord, I'll do it. You know, I think in a lot of ways, Peter is struggling with faith and misgiving. He's struggling with belief and doubt, just like we do. When the Lord speaks to us about a certain thing, when He wants us to step out a little bit, we struggle with faith and doubt. Is this really real? I mean, is the Lord really going to show up? Is He going to be there if I step out in this thing? Can I really trust Him? Lord, it sounds crazy, but if you say so, we will go out. We will go out and we will let down the nets again. We really need to learn this lesson. We need to learn the lesson of saying, yes, Lord, I will. I don't understand it all. I don't know how it's going to work out. Lord, everything that you're telling me goes contrary to what I see in the world today. It's contrary to what my friends are telling me. But Lord, if you say so, I will. I'll obey. And that's the lesson for us in this story. We need to listen. There were people listening, but Peter and the boys were the ones who obeyed, who did what he told them to do. And guys, that is the key to successful Christian living. Are you at that point in your walk right now? Are you at that point where if he said to you tomorrow, I want you to quit your job, and I want you to go here or do that, are you at that point in your walk where you're willing to say, yeah, I'll do that? And I know that's kind of an extreme example. I almost hesitate to use it because I know when you start talking like that, people start getting nervous. He wouldn't really do that, would he? You're just kidding, right? He's not going, oh man, I knew it. He's going to call me to go to Mongolia. No, not Mongolia. I hate Chinese food. I hate cold. I want to be on the beach someplace. I just knew. Look, that is such a rare exception that God would call you to go to Mongolia. So relax. Chill out. But guys, here is a much more likely scenario. Listen to me. What if he says to you tomorrow, I want you to share your testimony at work? Ouch. I want you to start living your faith like you really believe it. At work, in your neighborhood. Now all of a sudden, Mongolia is not sounding so bad after all, you know? Guys, if we are going to be successful in our walk before God, we have got to step out in obedience. We've got to move into the shallows first. He's not going to freak us out. He's not going to take us someplace that we don't want to go. But we need to step out into the shallows, into your shallows, into your areas of comfort where you live, where you work right now. We've got to move there. If we're going to be successful, guys, that's where it starts. Verse 6 says, when they did this, this is where the story gets great. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Can't you just imagine these guys? I mean, think about this. They're thinking in their minds, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This makes no sense at all. They're just going through the motions. Okay, row the boat, throw the net. And then they start to pull on the net, knowing in their mind there's going to be nothing in that net. And as they begin to pull, There's a tension there. There's a tension there on that net that they recognize. They know that there is something there. But it's bigger than they've ever imagined. The nets are full. As they try to bring them into the boat, the boats are filling up and beginning to sink. Wow. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. Now, I want you to look at this for a minute. What does Peter say here? He says, "Lord, go, leave. I'm a sinful man. Please go away from me." The problem is Jesus never said anything about sin. Where does this subject come from? Jesus, these guys are fishing. Fishing isn't sinful. Are there no fishermen? I was sure I'd get an amen out of that one. There's probably no fishermen in this group. These guys are just fishing. And Peter says, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Go away from me." What's going on here? Think this through now. What Peter has seen over the last few weeks, months, he's seen his mother-in-law healed in his own home. He saw hundreds, maybe thousands, healed in his front yard there in Capernaum. And in the midst of all of that stuff, Peter never said a word about sin, about the deity of Christ, about who Jesus is. He never said a word. But now, when Jesus has met him at this place where he is most confident and rocked his world, Peter begins to recognize some things. You see, to get our attention, sometimes God meets us in those places where we are most confident. He meets us in those places where we are most comfortable, and he rocks us there. He shakes our world. Jesus comes to this place where Peter was most secure, and he showed him something he never imagined. This place where Peter thought he had everything nailed down, where he thought he knew it all, and Jesus says, "Oh, no, no, I've got so much more to show you. There's so much more that you need to see." Guys, we all have these areas. These areas where we say, "Man, I can do this in my sleep. I know this backwards, forwards, inside out, and upside down. I got no problems with this." God says, "Not so fast. I still got things to show you. I still have things to teach you." Jesus enters into those areas of our lives. Guys, if we are not paying attention to him, he will enter into those areas and he will rock our world because he wants to show us something. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." He tells Simon, "From now on, you will be catching people." And then they brought the boats to land and left everything and followed him. Jesus said, "Now you've been catching live fish and watching them die. I'm going to show you how to catch dead men and watch them come to life." Peter, in the book of Acts, will preach a sermon and 3,000 people will be saved. They truly have no idea what's ahead of them. They have no idea what's coming. Guys, the difference between success in our Christian walk and failure is obedience to the Word. Obedience to the things that God is calling us to. The question is, will we take the first step? Are we going to move in the familiar areas, in the shallow waters? Will we move there first?
One more quick story and we'll wrap up for today. Verse 12, we see a different encounter, a different time. It says, while he was in one of the towns, so he's moved away from Lake Gennesaret and into one of the villages, there was a man covered with leprosy. And he saw Jesus, and he fell face down and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And reaching out his hand, he touched him, saying, I'm willing, be made clean. And immediately the disease left him. And then he ordered him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Interesting. As a testimony to the priests. Leprosy in that day was considered by everybody to be the judgment of God. You know, if you had some secret sin or some problem in your life, that was the way that God got you. You know, if the courts couldn't get you or whatever else was there, God would get you with leprosy. And so anybody with leprosy, people would go, wow, what did he do? You know, some secret sin. There's more written about leprosy in the Bible than any other disease, because it is the perfect picture of sin. At some point, this guy was declared to be unclean, and that would have changed his life forever. No longer could he hold his mother. No longer could he hug his father. If he was married, he would have to leave his family, wife, children. He would live in complete isolation. He would have to cry out when people were coming close to him, unclean, unclean, stay away. He'd have to stay 100 paces away from any person. Dr. Luke says that he was full of leprosy. That means it was in its final stages. He was consumed with this. At this point, fingers and toes have rotted off. The nose, the ears, it is a grossly deforming kind of disease. And he was at that stage. Boy, in many ways, it is such a perfect picture of sin. Because what leprosy does is it destroys the nerve endings in the body. And so things just begin to rot and fall off. And sin does that. It destroys our sensitivity to things that are wrong. It makes us insensitive. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin, but when we ignore it, we become desensitized to those things. And it destroys and it kills. Guys, even societies can become desensitized to sin. And we see that in the world today. We see that here in Europe for sure. This is a leprous society. But God has the ability to touch and to heal. He says to Jesus, if you will, if you want to, this guy has no doubt that Jesus can heal him completely. He's questioning his willingness. I know you can, but will you? We can do that sometimes, can't we? I know God is powerful. I know he can do all things, but I'm not so sure he's going to do it for me in my case. That's where this guy is. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm willing. I'm willing. And I will. And he reaches out and he touches him. What a beautiful picture. You know, Jesus came to this earth to touch this one man. He touched many others, but certainly this was one guy he knew he was going to touch. He came to earth to touch you and me, and he's done that. He's cleansed us. He's cleansed many of you here today. But not of a physical malady. He's cleansed us of sin. Because that's the one thing we can't fix. With all of our medical technology and medical know-how, man, we can cure almost every disease out there. But sin is the one thing we can't fix. It's the one thing we can't take care of. That's what Jesus came to do, It's to take away our sin. Someone may think, you know, this is kind of cruel of God to put this poor man through all of this, to give him this leprosy and to cause him to be in isolation for such a long time. But guys, this leper's testimony is that he is now cleansed. There's nothing greater. Nothing greater than being able to tell people, the people that you know, that you are cleansed. To be able to say to people around you, man, I was blind, but now I see. I was deaf, but now I hear. I was lame, but now I can walk. I was dead, but now I'm alive. We have a testimony, but are we sharing it? Are we sharing it? Jesus wants us to step out into those shallow waters, to obey Him, to do what He tells us, to share that, to share our testimony with people. Verse 15, he says, but the news about him spread even more. And large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. And yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. That was, seems to be one of the real sources of the power that Christ had, was his constant communion with the Father in prayer. How much more do we need that? How much more do we need that? So I have a question. Do you really want success in your Christian life? Or are you just happy to, well, I got my salvation and I'm good to go and I'm just going to kind of toddle on down the road? You know, where's your heart in this? What is your desire? Do you really want to have success in your Christian life? Guys, obedience is where victory begins. It's where we find success. Are we willing to be obedient? Certainly to the written word, but also to God's moving and God's calling. God telling you, hey, I want you to speak to this person. Lord, I want you to go and mow your neighbor's lawn. Wait a minute, that's not ministry. Yeah. To demonstrate the love of Christ, are we going to be obedient? Are we willing to move into the shadows? To the shallows. You know, forget Mongolia. But will we move into those familiar areas all around us? It's where success begins. Now maybe, one quick final thought. Maybe God is calling you to go to Mongolia. Maybe you're thinking, you know, Mongolia's not so bad. I'd like to go there. Guys, here's the thing. If you're not moving into the shallows, God will not take you to the deep places. If you're not engaged here and now, God's not going to take you to the places out there. You know, I talk to people who have grandiose visions and dreams about the future, and I ask them, but what are you doing here now? Oh, well, I'm waiting. And there's a time to wait. But God wants us moving into the familiar. He wants us operating in the shallows. I'm going to have DNA for come up and close us with a final song, but I know that there are people here today who are in this place of just being satisfied with their Christian walk. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm good, you know. They're comfortable on the shoreline. Because it's nice on the shore. If I get in the boat rocks sometimes, and sometimes there are storms. The Lord wants us moving into the areas where we are familiar to bring the message of hope, to bring the gospel to people. There's a world out there that's dying, and we have the message that brings life. But are we going to move? Or are we going to take that step? I hope this is a challenge for you. It is for me. But as we close today, just ask that you would take this time to just seek the Lord ask him, Lord, where do you want me to move? How do you want me to step out? Just take this time and pray and seek him. Lord, we thank you so much for the day. We thank you for being here in this place today. Lord, as we close, just, again, take this time as we are quiet before you to speak to our hearts about those things you want for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.